You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Lunch Break ABCs. I am joined by the Christine Smith, the Ben Albert, and the Andrew Biernat, and I am Brandon Eastman, and we together are the Lunch Break ABCs. We come at you once a month to bring you a topic that you voted for, that you want to hear more about, that you want to see the four of our minds come together and share some insights on these very important topics. We've talked about things like fear. We've talked about building your business. We've talked about growing yourself personally. And today specifically, we are talking all about that. We are talking about how you can elevate your personal and your professional growth. We'll talk about growth strategy, what we think about growth, whether it happens automatically or whether we have to consciously make progress towards it. But nonetheless, we're going to have a very fun conversation. How are you guys feeling today? And what's on your mind when it comes to growth?
Doing fantastic. It's funny because I definitely know that I grow without trying. That happened when I was younger. But I've gotten to a certain height where I haven't grown an inch in over 10 years.
You got to be careful, though. You stop growing up, you start growing out.
You start growing out and down. Out and down. So, of course, there's growth that just kind of occurs on its own. But what's more fascinating to me is the lifelong growth that we get to be a part of. And I'm just excited to be with you guys and discuss a topic that we could probably take 100 and million one different ways. So this will be fascinating, and I'm excited to be here.
Same here. So one thing that gets me thinking every time I think about growth is often growth is like this exciting topic, particularly people who love talking about it, right? Personal growth, personal development, all these different things where you're improving and you're skilling up and you're getting better. And I remember when I first started reading kind of those self-help and growth-focused books, growth was like this awesome thing. I was like, yeah, I'm growing. This is good. But since I've gotten married and have had kids and have really started pushing myself in my career and everywhere else in my life, I've noticed that growth kind of sucks in a lot of ways because it's like, it's hard. And when I grow and I have to level myself up to change, a lot of times it comes because I had some major setbacks. I had some things that did not feel like growth in the moment. It felt like a major problem in the moment. And so I want to just maybe tee up as an initial conversation how growth is sometimes or often tied into hardship and challenge and things that we don't necessarily see as pleasant. There's like the fluffy growth where like it's like the Tony Robbins, like rah-rah kind of feel to it. But then there's like the real growth that happens through hardship and change and challenge. And so I just want to maybe kind of tee that up as like an opener to our conversation.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Like when I think of growth outside of like this freshly pruned garden, right? Like that's like the fluffy foo-foo side. I see growth as like this messy, fear-driven, like it's because something happened. And I can attribute like major growth points in my personal and professional life because of something, right? Like it almost put you in this position where you have like the fight or flight, right? Like you're either going to go down this path or you're going to go down this path. Like there's not really a lot of option. And whatever path you decided to go on, looking back, you're like, oh, because that happened, it allowed me to do these other things. And I think that's helpful for, you know, changing perspective, you know, being, having that positive outlook. But I think sometimes when we look at growth, it's only the Tony Robbins side. They're like, oh, it's amazing. You got to do it, right? But I'm like, that's not reality. Like growth is just is totally uncomfortable. It causes arguments. It's super like, I just feel like this sloppy, wet mess. And it's, you know, sometimes you're just kind of sitting in it and you're like, I don't even know if this is the right direction. I don't even know if I'm doing the right thing, but everything is pointing to this direction. So I guess I'll just keep going and, you know, trudging along in my, you know, my swamp boots, I guess.
I think the biggest thing is going to be to track how many times we use the word growth through this conversation, because I think we're already up to 100, which is awesome. It's a conversation that we need. And I like, it's really weird to say it like this, but before I really understood the process of growth, we were still growing. You know, like you made the joke, Ben, that you grow automatically when you're a kid, you get taller, right? Like that just happens and the universe has its way. But then you reach your height. Like I think of myself when I was 16, 17 years old, and you know, I was a fat high school kid, right? I knew that I wanted to look different. I knew that I wanted to feel different about myself. And I still, quote unquote, grew during that time in the sense that I tried different things. Like I knew I wanted to lose weight, so I bought like a weight loss pill, and I bought the Thermogenic that Facebook ads was showing me on, you know, as I scrolled through my feed. And I tried all these different things. But I think at the very beginning of our growth journey, I know this probably meets a lot of people who aren't at the beginning, but for those who are at the very beginning, you have a very limited toolbox when it comes to your growth. So you have one option or another option, right? So you latch on to one. And then like you said, Christine, you do that and you try it and you see what results you get. And then it can get messy. Like I remember I took those Thermogenics and I started like, it sounds really dramatic, but I guess it was. I started like passing out randomly. And it didn't happen all the time. It's actually how I met my wife. It's how I met Bree. I passed out at work because I was on these Thermogenics and she was there when I woke up and she like led me to where I was working that day and we started talking. So I guess if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have met her, which is
yeah, guardian angel.
Yeah, literally. Exactly. But the point is, I didn't know of any other way that I could have gone about losing weight. I wasn't good at the gym. I didn't know where to even start. I didn't have anyone I could watch or model because I was 16 or 17 years old. So at the beginning, it's always messy, I feel. I think at the beginning of any new endeavor, like even Secret Life of CEOs or your podcast, Ben, like at the beginning of the podcasting journey, you don't really know what you're doing. At the beginning of a new career, you might not have a direction. You might not know what you're doing. But as you grow, as you continue to get better, you begin to add more and more tools. And I think the biggest thing is like acquiring knowledge, right? Knowledge, we know knowledge isn't power. Here's a Tony Robbins quote since we're mentioning him. Knowledge isn't power, it's potential power. But in order to potentially use anything, you need to acquire something, right?
I love that. That makes me think of Stephen Covey and 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Habit number 7 is sharpen the saw, which is educate, learn, have a better toolkit that you can use. And that's only half the equation, though, because you can have a super sharp saw and never get anything done. And I've been guilty of that plenty of times where I just go and I learn and I educate and I procrastinate and I'm great at that. And, you know, all of a sudden I'm an expert in something that I've never done, you know, where I don't actually have the experience of doing it and learning it and messing it up to back up all this book knowledge or webinar knowledge or course knowledge that I've gone and I've absorbed. And so I think it's a really delicate balance if we're looking to grow in certain areas, how much time we're spending sharpening and how much time we're spending applying that sharpness, how much time we're actually going out and chopping down trees. And I think, at least in my personal case, I tend to overspend my time on the sharpening and underspend my time on the execution. Mm. But I know some people are the opposite. Some people overspend on execution and they're beating their head into a brick wall. And all they really need to do is maybe take a step back and get that little bit of analysis or a little bit of learning. And all of a sudden it unlocks the door right in front of them that they've been smashing their head into. So I'm kind of curious for you guys, which tendency do you have? Are you more of a sharpener or are you more of a go out and get her done kind of worker?
I mean, definitely, like you're describing, like growth without a plan, which is definitely not something I usually do. Like I fly by the seat of my pants to an extent, which, you know, I think that's just kind of how you build a business, right? You're like, I have this idea, right? But it's not as simple as just opening the door or buying a building or whatever. But I think, you know, growth doesn't happen until there's an action, right? Even if it's involuntary action, it's still something that has been acted upon. So I think that's like step one, right? You have to act on it and you have to use either previous skills or you have to learn new skills to continue moving forward on whatever that action is. But I think, you know, for that growth, like launching point, like it's still going to be messy because you just don't have all the answers, right? That unknown factor, I think, is huge with growth because we don't know where it's going to put us. like in the game of life, we don't know how many spaces, like it's going to throw us into a direction. It could just be two or it could be 12. Right. And we haven't predicted or offered ourselves any future look at, well, what this could be, except for the conversations that we've had or the what if type scenarios maybe have run ourselves through and said, okay, well, if it happens in this way, here's what I think I might do. Here's how I'll react. If it happens in this other way, you know, here's how I'll react to that. Right. And some people just don't even bother. They're like, well, whatever. I'll just throw it all. And if it works, great. If not, well, we'll figure it out. Like I'm definitely not that person. I mean, yeah, I'll figure it out, but I have to have like A, B, C, D plans to fall back on if I need to figure it out.
Intentional growth. There's one thing I want to comment on. You were mentioning how growth doesn't occur without some action, but what I know for a fact will occur with inaction is withering. You'll actually depreciate if you don't take care of yourself, if you don't apply right. the knowledge, if you don't actually take action. So you might not grow. To me, it's scarier to think that I'm going to depreciate. And that, not to beat the dead horse with analogies, but I'm thinking about like two plants, and the one you feed, the one you water, is the one that's going to grow. I know personally for me, a huge growing pain was the pandemic when I was let go from my job, but I had an option. I can feed the alcoholic Ben that wants to watch Netflix and porn and just hang out all day. Mm-hmm. Or I can feed the Ben that's obsessed with podcasting, wants to get the right knowledge, and knows that I'm better than the person I've been in the past. You get to choose which one you feed. And if you don't feed either of them, they both wither away. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's such a clear intentional action. But I do think it's important to note, sometimes we have a plan, sometimes we don't. And we kind of just need to put our intuition as to, I'm gonna feed this plan. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go in this direction because it feels right. And we can figure it out and grow. And I love in David Mamano says, crash and learn. We can crash mm-hmm. and learn and have growing pains along the way. And sometimes those growing pains, oh my God, I'm all over the analogies. These growing pains are really our biggest teacher sometimes.
That's yeah. true.
I think it's needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Julia Latta wrote, I am a hands-on learner. So applying my skills or knowledge in the real world seems to help me better. And I think, Julia, thanks for commenting, by the way. And I think that, you know, it's good to know yourself. And that self-awareness is very powerful, because I know a lot of people who can learn things without using them hands-on, right? But I do know a lot more people who require that physicality, who require making the mistakes and trying it themselves before they see what works. Like, I remember when I first started my business, I was like, okay, I need a product now. I need something to actually sell. And I really love talking about goals. So it's funny that we're talking about plans right now. So I said, I'm going to create a goal setting course. And I spent a lot of time filming this goal setting course, creating the workbook to go along with it, creating the website and the landing page and the sales page and like the membership portal and all of these different things. And then I launched it, and I'm saying to my dad the week before, I was like, Dad, I'm about to launch this new program. I'm going to spend a ton of money on Facebook ads. I'm going to just go all out. I said, next time you see me, I'm going to be rich, Dad. And he's like, son, I build houses. I have no idea what you just said, but I'm happy for you. Let's see how it goes. And I launched it and nothing happened. And then a week later, I got a couple sales, but I was spending like $50 a day on Facebook ads, and the course was $47. So I was literally losing a lot more than I was bringing in. And I was like, what's going on? Like, I followed the process. I learned a lot through this experience, but I'm not making any money. And I think one of the biggest mistakes I made was I didn't ask my audience what they wanted, right? I didn't ask them for their specific goals questions. I didn't even ask to see if this was something that they'd even want to buy, right? And I learned the hard way that growth requires trying something so that the next time you do it, you can learn from your mistakes. So Julia, I relate to you a lot. I'm also hands-on. It's definitely bit me in the ass sometimes doing it that way, but it's always a lot more fun to do it that way, even if they're short-term pain.
I love that. One thing I want to make sure we also cover here, and Ben and Brandon, you guys have been great at diving into the stories of our growth. I think we can learn so much through each of our growth stories, because we all have times in our life we can look back at and say, oh yeah, I grew a lot during that time. And usually when we can say, oh yeah, I grew a lot, then we can see there's probably some conflict, or there were some problems, there was some things that did not go well. And that's what caused us to grow. That's what caused us to adapt. That's what caused us to change. And I'll share one of my stories, which was back when I was working as a sales professional and hated my job. Sales is great. I like selling, but I did not like the role that I had in the product that I was pitching. And it just ate at me. It was just like a cancer in me. And so eventually it spilled over into my work. Like, I just didn't do as good a job as I could have. I was put on a performance improvement plan and I basically fired myself. I did not improve enough to stay. They were very good about it. Very kind, very nice. But listen, this isn't for you. So I was seen out the door. And just like Ben, I went into this spiral where, you know, just more of everything, at least the not good things, right? My unhealthy coping mechanisms. And things got worse. But I can look back now and say that was a point of growth for me. Because as things got worse, a couple doors of opportunity opened. One of those opportunities was to change careers. And so I took that opportunity. I changed careers. And another thing happened that I thought was really interesting was I got a mentor. And this was a paid mentor. This was actually a counselor. It was somebody that I paid to give me advice on things. And he was great. He opened my eyes up to a lot of the things that were going wrong in my life that I hadn't really paid much attention to, or I thought was totally normal, or everybody else is doing it, so it's fine. And he really just kind of peeled back the layers of that and said, well, it's not fine and you're not okay. And I can remember after my first appointment with him, it was like an hour and a half appointment that we had. And it was going to be like 2 or 3 weeks before I saw him again. Like, those 2 or 3 weeks was like, in my mind, looking back, that's like the lowest of the low, right? So there was the getting fired and then the whole low that came with that and the drinking and all that stuff. And then there was the having my eyes opened to how bad things were, and then the low that happened after that. But then after that was that rebuilding process. And that's when growth started to happen. And a lot of times you'll hear about these rock bottom moments for people. And it's like, well, how does everybody have a rock bottom moment? You know? And I think part of it is like, it's your personal rock bottom is going to be different than somebody else's personal rock bottom. And what makes it the rock bottom isn't necessarily that it's the worst that it could ever possibly be. It's that that was the inflection point. That's when things turned around. That's when things changed. And so for me, that inflection point happened after that first counseling session. And I started making some serious changes to my life. And again, that was a longer process than it was to get there. But at the same time, it was a really powerful process. And obviously, I've changed a lot since then. So I'm kind of curious for you, Christine, what's maybe a story of growth for you where you can look back and say, oh, yeah, I grew a lot in that time?
Well, obviously, I've talked about my divorce on this show as a big, major stopping point of growth and, you know, tragedy and everything that can happen with that. But I'll actually go back farther, because obviously a lot of people have heard that story. So I was actually in a really bad car accident when I was 17. It was bad enough where, like, I had my first helicopter ride to Albany Med, which I don't recommend. And a lot of the EMS and, you know, police on scene thought I actually had died. It was that serious. So at the time, you know, I'm 17 years old. I'm getting ready to go into my senior year of high school. They had to postpone pictures for me because of my face was all like butchered up and everything. And, you know, going back into school was extremely hard because, you know, kids are really mean. You know, they're like, oh, I didn't think it was that bad. And like, literally this part of my face doesn't move. Like, I will never have wrinkles on that side of my face. I have a big scar. It just happened to be, you know, just, you can't really see it from here, but, you know, it was almost 20 years ago now. But what was interesting is, you know, at the time, it's very detrimental, 17, 18 years old, to have a massive injury and scar to your face as a female is awful, right? Like, and the things people would say, and I happened to be in the service industry at the time. So I was in front of people all the time. So bangs only cover for so long, especially on the days that are super hot, running around, carrying trays, bartending, whatever it is I was doing. You know, people ask people, oh, what happened to your face? Right. Not knowing that, oh, I went in and out of a window and, you know, I almost died. And they usually feel bad for asking that question, but, it allowed me opportunities that I never thought was possible. So, after I graduated high school, you know, still kind of self-conscious about it. I'm also 5'11". So there's the other side of like, okay, you're this Amazon height person and you have this massive scar on your face. I have like some scars on my arms and stuff like that as well. I still have glass in my arm as well. It's been almost 20 years. It's still there. It's broken, but it's still there. So, you know, it was very hard to get through the physical side, but it took a very big emotional and mental toll from a confidence standpoint. Being able to have conversations, being able to be that front-facing person, especially as I grew in different careers, I was a salesperson. So I'm front of line and it's very challenging when people notice, right? If I raise my eyebrow, only one goes up. And I'm always like, oh, they're not going to want to buy for me or they're not going to want to date me because of this issue, right? And when I was 20, I did a photo shoot. It was with like a local photographer and he had this like thing that was called like a star for a day. And I was like, oh, you know, that seems fun. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe that'll make me feel better about myself at the time, right? And then it ended up turning into this whole thing with modeling. I ended up modeling for 8 years, which let me tell you, never would have thought I would have had that opportunity with a huge scar on my face, huge scars on my arms. And it was a massive confidence builder for me. I was published, like I got paid for stuff. I was on like a local band's CD. I went to shows. I got to do runway, like all kinds of different opportunities. And that is definitely something that, you know, if somebody had told me that, especially even a year after my car accident, I would have been like, no one will ever choose me for something like that because of my scar, right? I felt very incapable because of just, it's not even a major limitation, like minor limitation, right? But it helped me to see that doesn't matter what happens, right? Like you can put your mind to something and it puts you in a direction. And what it enabled me to do was it built my confidence from a speaking standpoint. It built my confidence from a physical standpoint. I was less emotionally and mentally, I guess, concerned about it. Like I just stopped caring because I was like, people are willing to hire me. Mm-hmm. People are calling me from other states to have me come in and do these things and do these shoots because they've seen my capabilities. And it has nothing to do with the fact that I have a scar on my face. Like makeup and editing is amazing also, but some of them are like, no, no, we need that because of, you know, whatever the type of shoot that it was. So it was great to have that at such an early age. Unfortunate to have the accident, but I feel like it helped push me into this other trajectory to be a very vocal, opinionated, confident person that I don't think I would have had otherwise.
Wow. What a story. Incredible story. And it's wild how that physical situation happened. And then the last thing that you think might happen is modeling agencies are going to be paying you to actually model, right? So obviously there was a stint of time between that I'm sure you had to come to terms with a lot of things that happened and figuring yourself out, you know, the fact that you're still alive and you're like, wow, this is amazing. But that's a powerful story, Christine. My question for you guys is, and Julia just made another comment too, which I'll throw up here, but the question is, for someone listening who may not have had a traumatic life experience, or they weren't fired from their job and had to figure something out, or like, you know, all the stories we told, like they seem very dramatic, right? Obviously, most people have had a traumatic experience of some sort, But the question I will ask is, is a traumatic experience a prerequisite to growth, or are there ways that we can grow intentionally or non-intentionally without a traumatic experience? But Julia wrote, personally, I am looking to grow mentally, but professionally, I am trying to expand my skill set to provide more value to both my career and my pay. That's awesome. Good for you, Julia, for being laser focused on where you want to grow. And for everyone else listening, I'd ask you the question, what skill sets are you looking to grow in order to provide more value to your career so that your pay will rise as a result? But going back to the question, does Julia need to experience something traumatic in order to grow in her skill set to get paid more? What do you guys think?
No, because I think trauma just is like, I think we all need to have growth opportunities. And I think sometimes an event that could be deemed tragic, I mean, even a happy event, I would say, could still be that stem, right? To force us to do something. Because I feel like as humans, we're very the Neanderthal fear, right, is we don't necessarily take a chance on something or opportunity because we don't have what the result is going to be in our hands already. So it prevents us from doing any sort of growth because they're like, well, what if I'm not good enough? What if I can't find someone? There's all these what ifs, but it's like, but what if you do find somebody? What if you do have these skills? What if it gives you another opportunity, right? So reframing what that might look like. So, you know, for Julia specifically, like, okay, you want to have these new skills. Well, what are they? Who already is doing them? Can you find someone that mentors you? Is it something that you need to take a class for? Is it something that you can just, you know, do quickly online? Can you watch YouTube videos, right? I think growth is imperative for direction. But it's only if you're going to actually do it, right? Like you can say, you can talk all day long, well, I want to get paid more. Well, that's great. But what are you going to do that? Do you need to move jobs? Are you going to add more services? Are you going to hire somebody so that you can do more? You know, again, the action still has to happen for the growth, but you got to want it.
I want to kind of back that up too, because what we've shared here is we told stories about times that we've grown and changed. And what matters a lot is the narrative that we tell. And for us with our narratives, there was like this clear demarcation point was maybe getting fired from a job or having some sort of tragic injury or anything else we could look back at and say that was the point in time. But there's plenty of other points in time where things just changed for other reasons. I met my wife and, you know, Brandon was resuscitated in a sense, right? Here you go. Right. You know, and so we have these moments where something happens. And the key is what happens after that something happens. Because if you don't do anything after that something happens, you just keep on going. It's just another little micro tragedy or it's another little micro success. But if that moment in time, you start telling a different narrative around it, you start telling a different story around it, it starts to mean something different. So for myself, my story could have been very different. I could have told a very different story where I got fired and it was really hard. And then randomly I got lucky and randomly these other things started happening, right? But I told it in a very intentional way. I told it in a way that I was led somewhere and I was upskilled and grew because of that. And so my encouragement to those that maybe are like, hey, I want to grow, I want to change, but like, I don't want to get hit by a bus today. You know, like I want something, you know, I want to have that clear demarcation line, but I don't want to have a tragedy occur in order to flip that. So my encouragement would be spend some time working on your narrative. Start telling your story. Things used to be this way until one day I made a decision. And on that day, I decided X and Y and Z. And from that day on, everything was different. I saw the world differently. I behaved differently. I did things differently. We all have that opportunity each day in the way that we frame our narrative. The key is how often are we able to reframe and get back to that narrative? because anytime we're trying to do something new, we're going to be pulled back into old stories, old narratives, old frameworks. And I think Christine shared this beautifully, where she had this new framework in her head that she was this new type of person. I am a damaged person. I have these new challenges. And that's closed the doors on certain opportunities. And so it took these other moments where she had to reframe that narrative over and over and over again. And if you can reframe that narrative enough, it becomes true. That becomes that new reality that you're living in. And so, yeah, you don't need to have some extreme hardship happen to grow, but you need to reframe your narrative and you need to stick with that frame and keep that frame moving forward.
So powerful, Andrew. In a minute, I want you to jump in and talk about goal setting, Brandon. I just wanted to put one highlight on, I find most of my days aren't story worthy. And you know, stories are compelling, and if we can extract the wisdom from those stories, we can shorten learning curves. A lot of days kind of are just kind of simple, boring. I'm happy, but nothing crazy happens. But just one thing that's changed my life is keeping a journal. And there's a lot in that journal, but a big part of it's five things I'm grateful for, and just starting to see the good. Where boring day, grateful to be alive. Struggle, grateful to learn. Something amazing happened. Let's celebrate the heck out of that win. And that's a goal of mine, just to write in my journal. Every days are mundane. Sometimes I don't have a compelling story to tell, but I develop a mindset over time by reframing those boring days as things that are still happening for me and a great opportunity to learn. I got to learn from you guys today. And I saw Julia mention goal setting, and you're the goal guy. So I wanted to jump in, but I did want to toss it over to Brandon to talk a little bit about goal setting maybe today.
Hey, I did write the course on it, even though no one bought it. So please allow me to bring the material. Julia, thanks for asking. So Julia wrote, any advice for goal setting and sticking to it? I tend to set short and long-term goals, and then I struggle to take action. Awesome question. I know each of us are going to have a different answer to this because each of us do a little bit differently. One of the biggest differences and biggest improvements I've made in my life is when I incorporated exactly what you just said into my life, Ben, which is a journal, right? And now I have like notebook after notebook. I've become someone who just habitually loves to take notes and write things down. And even with clients, I'll share my notes that I take with them afterwards because it helps them to go through and reflect. I'm not the most artsy by any means. A lot of people think, okay, well, writing, that has to do with creativity. Therefore, I must be artfully creative. And that is not the case. If any of you have ever seen me draw on a flip chart, it is one of the most scary things that you'll ever see. Christine smiling, she knows. Yes. And you'll get to see that. <I'm sorry. laughs> It's just not the best by any means, but it's not about your artfulness. It's about getting your thoughts onto the paper. And I agree, Ben, there is absolutely a power there. And it's probably a very good thing that every day isn't story worthy, because then when there isn't something big that happens, you think that something's wrong, right? It's good for there to be spikes and then back to normal and then spikes and then back to normal, because that helps you determine, okay, this was a very special day or this was a very special time of my life. So it gives you that dichotomy there. But to Julia's question, Julia, you mentioned before that you're looking to expand your skill set to provide more value to your career. And then you asked about goals and sticking to it. So the question I would have for you, it's less advice and more of a question that you already have the answers to. Okay, what can you do? Going to Christine's point, if you want to earn more money, what are you going to do to earn more money? A lot of the times, I see a lot of people think they have to go to a different job or a different company. Not the case, right? I was a sales trainer for years and years and years, for 4 years, and I realized, hey, I have this skill for organizing events and conferences and bringing in different speakers from around upstate New York who work for the company too, and making it flow cohesively, breaking at the right time, having a lunch, doing some like fun exercises. Like I had this skill of organizing events. So I went to my boss and I said, hey, I have this specific skill. I enjoy doing it. I would love to show you what I can do and put together the whole next leadership conference. And his name was Luke. He was like, yeah, do your thing, man. Please take this off of our plate. So I did. And I showed him what I could do. And after he saw it, he was like, okay. He was like, so how much do you want to get paid for doing this? And I already had some numbers in my mind and I threw a number at him. And he said, yes, I probably should have shot for a higher number. But the point is, what comes first, Julia? Do you want to grow in a specific skill and then leverage that skill to get a position? Or do you already know that there's a role or position that you want to fill at this organization? And if that is the answer, then okay, look at who's doing that. Or if there's no one doing it yet, what skills will you require in order to make it happen? The big point of your question was, I struggle to take action. A lot of people think that they have to do everything all at once, everything all at once. The goal and the trick is to just relax, have patience, know what the skill is that you want to improve in, and then just take it one day at a time. Because time is going to pass whether you want it to or not. And in a year, you're going to be more skillful in something. If you have an idea of what that something is, in a year, you're going to be a hell of a lot more skillful. So my advice for you, Julia, would be figure out what that skill is, buy a book, listen to a podcast specifically on that thing. Don't start going in every other direction, but become laser focused on that skill. And it's very likely that in a year's time, you're going to be exactly where you want to be, or maybe even in a better place than you could have imagined yourself.
I love that you immediately went to skills. Because a lot of times when people are asking about, oh, like goals and career and improving and all that, the temptation sometimes is to go to passion. Well, what excites you? What do you enjoy? And I want to recommend a book to you, those that are listening. The book is So Good That They Can't Ignore You. And that's by a guy named Cal Newport. He's got a ton of good books. This one I absolutely loved. I read it recently and I wish I'd read it 10 years ago. I don't even know if it was out 10 years ago, though. But the concept of this book is, really, the backbone of it is career capital. And that is the type of currency that you want to be trading in. That is the type of thing you want to acquire as your career progresses, as you continue to upskill yourself in your current role and for your next role. And a good way to think about career capital is, why do people do internships? Why do people do extra work at work? Why do people do these things that, like, just seem like they're really not getting paid any extra? They're not getting any extra tangible benefit for it. Is the smart ones are doing some of that extra stuff, some of that unpaid stuff, some of that stuff on the side, starting a podcast or writing a book or starting a new hobby or going to improv classes or doing some of these things that when you look at it on the surface, you're like, okay, maybe a bizarre hobby or some oddball thing, but, or it's just extra work. But those that are conscious of that, that are aware of, oh, this is actually improving me in some way, and I'm enjoying it in the moment, those that do that, they start to build up more equity in their abilities. So we look at all four of us. We all have podcasts. We all are actually extremely skilled and talented at having conversations, at pulling out ideas, at sharing concepts. These things are not only valuable for podcasters. These are valuable in a lot of different areas, whether we're selling or pitching, or we're trying to get somebody onto our side in an argument, or we are just trying to connect better with people that we care about. All of these skills get to be used elsewhere. And so my encouragement would be, as you're looking at where you're headed, start to think about, what can I do now to acquire some of those skills? What can I do now that's going to enhance my marketability? Think of yourself as an asset. You are a resource in one sense, from a company's perspective. And a resource can be used and applied and sent to different ways. And if you have more things that you can do, and then you tell people that you can do those things, you're going to be more likely to be a valued resource. And if you are a valued resource, you can then push for higher pay. And there's two ways to do that. One is you can do that within the company and say, hey, I should be paid more. Or, hey, I'm gonna, you know, kind of like Brandon did, I'm gonna take on this new opportunity. I'm gonna head this up and I'm gonna be paid accordingly. There's one method. The other method is, again, test the open market. And you can always bring it back to the employer that you have. Here's an open market price point that my salary needs to be at. Can you match that? If not, I may need to go to that other opportunity. But you can only do some of those things by taking that initiative, by saying, you know what, I'm not just going to do that whole 9 to 5 only thing, or, you know, 9 to 2 PM and then, you know, flake off the rest of the 3 hours of the day. You know, you need to be focused. You need to be saying, you know what, I want to get better in this particular area. So look at some of these next things that come down the pipeline at work and say, okay, I could take on this one particular project. And if I did this one, it's really more the same. It's not really any different than stuff I've already done. Is that going to improve me in any way? And then look at some of the other projects that maybe you have an opportunity to be a part of and say, you know what, I've never done that before. You know, I'm not very good at that. And those, to me, speak to opportunities. those are chances where you can say, you know what, if I dove into that and I got better at that, that increases my marketability. I've got more experience in that area. And guess what? By having more experience, having more of that career capital, you are more valuable. And then you can use that to be paid according to your value.
That's excellent. Do you mind if I jump in here real quick, guys? Please. Because what you just said is exactly what Julia can use and take. So she wrote, again, I am hoping to stay at my current company and grow with them since we are a small startup. I've been taking courses in marketing and coding since those are the two departments I see growth in. Thank you for your advice. So if we take this now, and by the way, everyone else listening, we'd love to give you advice too. Go in the comments. Let us know where you're focused on growth. Matthew Lesser just wrote a comment as well. But take that now. And Julia, grab a couple books on marketing. Go to Amazon, type in marketing, go to best-selling, and read some of the top books in marketing and or coding. My advice would be I'd pick one of those skills. I'd pick the one of those skills. I know we mentioned passion before, but I would pick the one that you can see yourself being most passionate in. Become really, really good at one of those, coding and or marketing. And as you read, as you learn, start applying what you're learning for free at your startup, or go to the person who makes those decisions and say, hey, listen, I would love to try something. If you're up and willing for me to do this, I would love to give it my best shot to see what results I can get. You're not asking for pay at that point, but if you get a great result, say, hey, I would love to do this on a greater scale. I realize we're a startup, but I know that I can, if we put a dollar in, I know I can get $2 out or whatever it might be result-wise. But just like you said, Andrew, do it for free. A lot of people are afraid of doing it for free. I'm not saying do it for free forever, but start with that so you can get a proven result. And once you have that result, that's when you can go to the market and start asking for money.
I kind of want to weave in all this together. And I'm taking this from Brad Lee, Lightspeed Virtual Training. What he always says is training isn't something you did. It's something you do. I believe same goes with growth. It's not something you did. It's something you do. You don't check the box and say that it's done. And the four main pieces that he goes through are good content, practice, repetition, and accountability. The good content is that book, similar to Brandon mentioned, getting the right knowledge, extracting that wisdom, and practicing it. Let's say you have a speech, you have a meeting, you have something important, you're going to practice behind scenes based on what you learn from the good content. Now, repetition is doing this all the time, not just saying, oh, I read the book and I practiced and I meet. If you speak in front of your team, if you speak at an event, you don't just speak 5 years later and you want to keep that momentum. That's that repetition. It's good content. Practice that content behind the scenes. Repeat it in your day-to-day life. And then Matthew touched on the thing that I think most of us miss, and it's accountability. And in the comments, he mentioned how he has a board of directors where he has four people in his personal board of directors, and they meet, half a day? They meet with his personal board. That's the accountability. So you have the good content, you have the right knowledge, you've practiced it behind the scenes, you're implementing it with repetition. Now, how can I surround myself with the right kind of people that can hold me accountable? And pick a goal, pick a skill. I believe if you do those four, you have to succeed. And if not, you're pretty darn good. You're still 90% better, even if you don't get to 100.
I mean, 100%. 1% is still 1%, right? Like you move the dial, right? Like they say that if you move 1 degree, if you're sailing a ship, that you can end up in a completely different country, right? True. So I think that perspective is extremely important when it comes to growth. And hopefully my computer doesn't die. like using Julia as an example, like I think a lot of times people set goals that have no mini goals. So you're like, oh, I want to increase my pay. Well, that's great. But like, what are the things that need to happen for you to go up the ladder first in order to accomplish that goal? Same, you know, buying a house. Like, okay, well, what do you have to, what are the backtrack things that have to happen? It's not as simple as buying a house, right? Are you doing a down payment? okay, you have to get approved first. You got to find the house. Like, where's the locate? All these things, right? The logistics of the goal, I think, have to be addressed. And I think that's why people don't typically accomplish their goals, because the goal is, and I think maybe people do that to themselves on purpose. Well, I didn't reach the goal. And it's like, but you didn't build something that was actually obtainable and had steps that would get you there. You're just like, well, I'm going to buy a Ferrari. Well, that's great. But like, what exactly are you going to do to get to that point? Unless you have the cash sitting in your bank and you can go buy a Ferrari, like if it's that simple, if it's not that simple, which usually goals are, and that's why you set them, you have to go back and say, okay, well, what are these sub goals? And I think as humans, we really enjoy like accomplishing things or checking things off. So if you're checking many things off as you go, you're more likely to accomplish that goal because you're like, oh, I'm halfway there. Like you have something to read and go back on to see where you are in your checkpoints.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is consistency. And then we can give some final thoughts to wrap this up. But like, I am the least patient person you guys will ever meet. Least patient. Like I need things to happen when I want them to happen. I'm very dynamo in that way. And even though I've seen the proof in the pudding many times, I'm still that way. And I'm becoming more aware though. But I know for other people who love to achieve, which I know all four of us are very similar in that way, the idea that you've probably heard from 100 other people of patience. Like when I started my podcast, I didn't expect results very quickly. And I did not get results quickly whatsoever. I'm going to show a chart tonight at Christine's podcast event at Hangar Co-Works. And the screenshot is the first year was literally like this, like slow, some growth, some downloads. But after the first year is when that graph started to do this. Okay, it's a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And then at the second year, which just happened last month, now it's going up even more, even more, even more. So the point is consistency, and it takes time. And for someone like me who struggles with things taking time, like I said, I should take my own advice. Earlier, I said time is going to go by anyways. So in a year, where would you like to be? In 2 years, where would you like to be? Because then you can take Christine's advice and backtrack that and take that process, turn it on its head and say, okay, what needs to happen right before the goal? What happens before then? What happens before then? And just keep taking step by step by step. Because I guarantee Julia and Matt and everyone else listening, what you want, if you break it down into those little mini steps and you just start taking step by step today, doing what Ben calls the boring things, after a year, that's when the really exciting things start to happen. But just have grace for yourself, right? And I need to follow this advice too. Have grace where you are. Be happy with where you are, but not happy to the point where you don't take steps anymore. Happy to the point where you're happy where you are, but you still know that there's a newer, better version of yourself as long as you just keep taking one small step at a time.
Love it. We're just gonna take a chance to kind of sum things up.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So I'll drop my little bit here. I'm gonna circle back to narrative. That's to me what I think is really helpful for most people is what is it that we're replaying in our heads over and over again? What is the story we're creating about our lives and our environment? And if we can consistently adjust that story, if we can consistently change that narrative to be something else, that can be your inflection point. That can be that spot where you look back and say, everything changed after that. Everything changed after I started thinking differently about that. Maybe it's coming to terms with a previous trauma. Maybe it is understanding where you actually are headed in life. Maybe it's embracing a skill set that you didn't realize is valuable. Whatever it is, we each have these opportunities to reframe things. And then the key is going to be holding on to that frame and sticking with it. And if you can do that, then you'll look back years in the future and you'll say, yeah, you know, I used to think differently back then. I used to behave differently back then. And a lot of that had to do with that story that you told. And if you can just consistently tell that different story, you're going to change your life.
I don't want to add anything new. What I'll do is I'll give a little inspiration because I think implementation and consistency, Brandon just said it, it's exactly the most important thing. And I've given this analogy in a different way. I'm changing it up because it's fun today. So let's say you want to grow a garden. You go to a gardening expo. You learn exactly how to, you know, build and grow this garden. And what you do is you take care of the plants and you water them exactly the amount you were taught to water them, you know, patiently water them every day for 365 days. Where do you think your garden's going to be? Now, the other person down the road took the amount of water they're supposed to pour on the plants and decided, well, if I pour them all on the plant today, maybe I won't have to water them for 2 weeks. Who do you think is going to have a better garden? The person who slowly, patiently watered consistently every single day is going to have the nice garden. And the person that comes in with intensity and speed but doesn't actually implement anything isn't actually going to get anywhere. So my final thought is take just one thing, preferably 3, 5, 10, but take one thing you've learned or something that resonated with you today and just implement a little bit each day and come back to us in 30 days, 90 days, 365 days and tell us how you succeeded, because that's what's going to happen. Christine said it, even if you just move it 1 degree, what direction do you think you could take your life, your career? So that's my motivation for y'all today.
I'm motivated.
I'll
close us out.
Mine is growth equals opportunity. Don't worry about where it's going to put you, because if we knew that, we would probably take more chances. Just look at what opportunity could this bring me. It could be a person, place, or thing. And you don't necessarily know what you might need right now that is going to get you to that next stepping stone. So growth equals opportunity.
Heck yeah. I would say the final thing is be like the bamboo plant. And I'll read this. A Chinese bamboo plant takes 5 years to grow. It has to be watered and fertilized in the ground where it has been planted every single day. It doesn't break through the ground until 5 years later. After 5 years, once it finally breaks through the ground, it grows 90 feet tall in 5 weeks. So my takeaway is be like the bamboo plant, grow underneath the ground, maybe not literally because that'd be uncomfortable, but grow inch by inch by inch. And then after a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, everyone sees you sprout and grow. And they're like, holy crap, look at Christine. Wow, look at Andrew. Wow, look at Ben. Look at Julia. Look at where they are. And then some people are going to say, you know, it must be nice that Julia is the leader of this startup company. Look at where they are now. You have millions and millions and billions of dollars. But they didn't see the 5 years of growth that happened underneath the surface. Right. So be like the bamboo plant. Grow 1% each day, both personally and professionally. We hope this episode has been helpful for you in your personal and professional pursuits. If it has, let us know what your takeaway is in the comments. And keep an eye out for our next poll, which will be on the letter A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. So H is our next letter. Yeah, I truly just did that. I'm not good at ABCs. So H will be our next letter. Keep an eye out for that poll and choose which topic you would like the Lunch Break team to talk about next time. Thanks so much for watching and listening, guys. Have a good day.